HaKarbanos, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let the Bnei Yisrael recite the Parshas HaKarbanos, and Mala Ani Aleim Ke'ilu Hikrivam. I'll consider it as if they had actually brought the Karbanos. And that's the meaning of the pasuk on the Shalma Farim Svaseinu. All of the Karbanos that we're obligated to bring, so Bizvanas that we can't bring any of them, so we pay up the Karbanos by reciting the Parshas HaKarbanos. So there is a Medrash. There was a Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer. There was a famous Yisrael Hildesheimer who established a rabbinical seminary in Berlin. So he had a grandson. His name is also Yisrael Hildesheimer, named after the grandfather, who wrote a whole sefer on the Tzuras Bayisheni, because there are contradictions between Josephus. Josephus lived in the days of the Bayisheni. Josephus describes the Bayisheni. So there are contradictions between Josephus and the Mishnayos, and there are contradictions within Josephus Gufa. And the Gemara has different opinions of Tanoim. So he wrote a whole little sefer to try to be miyashev what the Baisheni really looked like. So in the introduction to his sefer, he starts off, he's writing all about the Tzuras Baisheni. So he starts off with a medrash that says that with, not only with respect to HaKrovas HaKarbonis, even with respect to the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. You have a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash, we're physically prevented from doing it. There's a big mosque over there. So we don't have the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah. So he quotes a medrash that says, Beferish, when we will learn the dinim of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it will be considered as if we had fulfilled this mitzvah too. That the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu and Shalom Baruch Parim Soseinu doesn't only apply to HaKrovas HaKarbonos, it applies to the mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash as well. Some Achrenim are of the opinion that Mabid, who is a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Kara, writes in his Sefer, Kiriya Sefer, Rabbi Yosef Kara wrote the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam, where he gives all the Marmakadis. And Mabid wrote the Kiriya Sefer, where he doesn't give all the Marmakadis. He's not as strong as Rabbi Yosef Kara Sefer. So that's why the Kesef Mishnah became much more popular. So the Mabid writes, in his Kiriya Sefer, he assumes that this promise that was given to Avraham Avinu, the Shalom B'Farim Sosein, it doesn't only apply to Korbanos and Beis HaMikdash, he thinks that it applies to all mitzvahs. Let's say a person is in prison, and he doesn't have the opportunity to eat matzah, or he can't shake a lulav, or he can't fulfill any mitzvah. A person is old and sick, and he can't go to shul, so he can't fulfill Tefillah B'Tzibur, he can't hear Kriyas HaTorah. So let him learn Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, let him learn the Dinim of Netilas Lulav, Male ani olav, and HaKadosh Baruch will consider it as if he had fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Mabit assumes that this klal in the psukim in Tanakh applies to all the mitzvahs HaTorah. The Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay where he writes that it's not so. He doesn't quote the Mabit, but he quotes all the Rishayim who say that it's only by Karbonis, and the Medrash that Rabbi Yisrael Hildesheimer quoted extends it also to the mitzvah Binyan Beis HaMikdash, but it doesn't apply to the other mitzvahs. The Beis HaMikdash, we know there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash and there's a mitzvah to build the Beis HaBchira. The Beis HaBchira was the Mokam HaNivchar La'olam Alol Me'olamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Po Eishi Ki Visi Azos B'Nechos HaYadei Yad. The Beis HaBchira, that was only in Yerushalayim. Moshe Rabbeinu made a Mishkan that had the status of a Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't the Beis HaBchira. Bechira means two things. Mokam She'ivcha Hashem Mikol Shevtechem La'asu M'shmo Sham. The Sheikh and Sidushu Vas Hashama, that's the Pasik in Re'ei. So Bechira means two things. This place to the exclusion of all others, and this is chosen the Olam Void. Means that there's an Isa Bamas. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was an Isa Bamas. In the days of Mishkan Shiloh, there was an Isa Bamas. In the days of Yerushalayim, there was an Isa Bamas. During the times of Nova Givon, there was a Bama Gdoila and a Bama Ktana. So there was a Heta Bamas. So that wasn't really a Bechira's Makom. And Shiloh, Rashi writes on Parshas Re, Shiloh had a partial, it says twice, Kim Alamachim Shiv Hashem Mikol Shivtechem, so it says it twice in Parshas Re. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei there, that the first time it's mentioned is speaking about Bechira Shiloh that had a partial Bechira. It was Nivchar to the extent that there's an Yisr Bamas during the time that Mishkan Shiloh was up. Mishkan Shiloh lasted for 369 years or something. That's the Mishnah in the Zohim, and the Rambam quotes at the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira. He gives you the whole history of the Beis HaMikdash from the days of Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu made till the Beis HaShlishi. So the Mishkan Shiloh had a partial Bechira in it. There was an Isa Bamas, but it wasn't it didn't have the full bechira because after Shiloh was Chorev, Yerushalayim was chosen. But Yerushalayim, the Mishnah says, Ein Achrei Heter. Yerushalayim had both din, had an Iser Bamas, and has also, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he's not going to ever choose another location. So that's why Yerushalayim is considered the real Beis HaBchira. Mishkan Shiloh was also a Beis HaBchira. The Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that was a Beis HaMikdash, that wasn't at all a Beis HaBchira. And Mishkan Shiloh was a Beis HaBchira, there was a partial Bchira, and the full Bchira was in Yerushalayim. So the Nevi'im, Yishaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, and the Malachim, the Haftaris, the Nevi'im keep on repeating the theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to make a Beis HaMikdash and to bring Karbanos. We shouldn't think that that's self-contained. That you bring the Karbanos and you make God happy and he's eating all that, he's drinking all the wine and he's eating all the flesh and he's smelling all the Reach Nichayach. And no, this has to go together with Shmiras Kala Mitzvahs Ben Orem Lamakam and Ben Orem Chaveiro. And then Ovi Yirmi and Yishai and Yecheskel, they all say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset. And when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, we have it one of the Haftaris now. The Rebbeinu Shlom tells him, if you'll behave and you keep all the mitzvahs, then the Beis HaMikdash will have a kiyum. If the Jewish people will not observe the mitzvahs, ben adam lachaverim, ben adam lamakim, and all the rest of the mitzvahs, the Beis HaMikdash will not have a kiyum. It's not just that God wants you to bring karbanos to him and to bow down to him, and then the rest of you can walk out of your church and act however you want. No. The Beis HaMikdash is a mokam hashvas hashchina, but shachante b'seichem in the midst of all the Bnei Yisrael. And we don't have the right to a Beis HaMikdash if we don't lead our lives properly. So the Nevi'im all prophesied that the Rebbeinu Shlom is going to destroy the first Beis HaMikdash. And Novi Yecheskel says, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy this Beis HaMikdash and he's going to send us into Golus Bavel, nonetheless, he will give us miniature, but the Mikdash is there in Bavel. So the Gemara in the end of Megillah interprets that that's an allusion to Bati Knesius of Bati Midrash and Shebe Bavel. That all Bati Knesius of Bati Midrashas have the status of a Mikdash Miyat, has a miniature Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. This is a question in Rishani whether this is a Din D'Oraisa or only an Asmachta Midrabbanan. The Chayei Yodam points out that whenever there's a Sofek in Hilchas Kovet Beis HaKnesses, they always have to go to Chumrah, because the mitzvah of Kovet Beis HaKnesses, which is learned out from the pasuk Umigdoshi Tiro, in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din of Mora Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaKnesses is only a Mikdash Miyad, so it's a partial Kedusha. So you don't say there's a Chi of Mora Beis HaKnesses, we call it a Chi of Kovet Beis HaKnesses. Mora means Kovet square, a lot of Kovet, like Kibbut Aviyem and Mora Aviyem. Mora HaMelech, there's a din, means a lot of, a big Chi of Kovet. So the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din of Mora HaMikdash. And in Beit HaKnesses, there's only a din of Kovet Beis HaKnesses. So the Chayyadim writes, he thinks that this is a din d'oraisa, and he quotes it from the Yireim, I think. He quotes the Yireim, who says that the mitzvah, Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, is d'oraisa, and the din of Kovet Beis HaKnesses is d'oraisa. And therefore he says, whenever there's any Sofik d'oraisa, you have to go to Chumrah. And he gives you a mashal, he says that one of the dinim of Kovet Beis HaKnesses is that you're not allowed to use it for secular purposes. You have to be careful. So the din is that if you have a funeral of a very great goyin and a tzaddik, he writes, like my mechutin, the Vilna goyin wasn't exactly, he was a mechutin of the son of the Vilna goyin. So he writes, like my mechutin, the Vilna goyin, so they were permitted to bring his body into the Beis HaKnesses to say the hesped. But stam, a rabbi dies, that's not right. He says, that's a bizoin of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, that you're not allowed to, he thinks that you're not allowed to bring it in. I remember years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Gruss were big supporters of Torah. They gave money to all the yeshivas. They founded yeshivas and so on. So when Mrs. Gruss passed away, I don't know why the background was like this. Rabbi Hirschsprung from Montreal wrote a psak while she was on her deathbed. Apparently they asked the Mashiach, he wrote a psak that they're permitted to take the Aron into the Ezras Nashim of the Fifth Avenue Synagogue when they do the Hespedim. But Lamaisa, because of the elevator or whatever, the way the building is constructed, Epis, it was impossible. So they took the Aron into the main sanctuary, the main shul. That's exactly what he wrote a tshuva that they shouldn't do. She was the one who got her husband to give all of the money to support Torah. And she deserved all the comfort in the world. But still, he said, they should only take her body into the Yezus Noshim, which doesn't have the full Kedushas Beis Aknosim. So they didn't listen. Anyway, that's in all the shuls and all the yeshivas. It's a very common violation. So the Chayyarim is very strong about that. He thinks that Kovet Beis Aknosim is a din deraisa, because the concept of Mikdush Miyat is a real din deraisa. And whenever there's any suffix, you have to go to Chumrah. Rav Soloveitchik used to be fond of pointing out, the Achrayim have this, that the Rambam also seems to hold like this Yireim that's quoted by the Chayei Adam, because the Rambam has the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. Sefer HaMitzvahs is the introduction to the Mishneh Torah. He lists off which are the 613 mitzvahs, and then he goes through the whole Mishneh Torah. He tells you section by section. He always starts off each section. How many mitzvahs are there in this section? We're going to cover the following three mitzvahs and 10 mitzvahs less. Then the next session, how many mitzvahs now? How many mitzvahs now? Then at the end of the whole Mishneh Torah, he says, now you know the whole Kol HaTorah Kula. He gave you an introduction, which are the 613 mitzvahs. And the Mishneh Torah is to explain all the details of all of the mitzvahs. So the Rambam first has the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and then he has the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora, very brief listing. So when he lists off the dinim of Osasun Kain Lashem Alakechem, it says this Mizbuchasem Titotzen Matzei, Voiseim Tishaberon, Vasherem Tisrufumwesh, Losasun Kain Lashem Alakechem. So the Pasha Pshat is Asor Lenoit Etzevin Minam Mizbeach. That's a lav. In the lavin, you're not allowed to destroy anything in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam adds on in the Minyan HaMitzvahs HaKotzer. He should have written it in the Mishneh Torah. He should have written it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. No, the only place that we have it is in the Minyan HaMitzvahs HaKotzer. The Kotzer is he's abridging, but here he adds on something that he doesn't even have in the original Sefer HaMitzvahs. That lav Asar LaNoit Etzevin Minam Mizbeach applies to Bati Knesis, to Bati Midrashis as well. So if he lists it off in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, it sounds like he thinks that it's really a din deraisa. And it's assumed that this was written by the Rambam also. It's assumed that the Sefer HaMitzvahs we know was written by the Rambam in Arabic and it was translated. It's assumed that this Minyan HaMitzvahs HaKotzer in Hebrew that appears in the beginning of the Mishneh Torah was also written by the Rambam. What exactly is the definition of the concept of Mikdash Mi'at? The Beis HaMikdash is the real Mikdash, and this is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. What's the difference? So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a definition based on Igmar in the end of Brochas. He thought that the Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, where we come to visit the Rabbanu Shalom in his home. And the Beis HaKnesses is Beiseinu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us he's going to come to visit us. So in a certain sense, it's a Mikdash because we're coming to meet each other. To use his Lashonis, he used to say all the time, to have a rendezvous with the Shechina. Okay. But there's a difference whether we're going to the home of the Beis HaMikdash, the home of the Rabbanu Shalom. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, as opposed to the Beis HaKnesses is Beis Sein. Where did he get this definition? Because the Gemara in the end of Brochus speaks about dinim of Moira HaMikdash and Kovet Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara says that in the Beis HaMikdash you're not allowed to wear shoes and socks. You have to go, you're not allowed to wear shoes. I don't know about socks. You're not allowed to wear shoes. Sometimes the Israeli soldiers are on guard there in the Har HaBayis. They have no choice. They have to be there to maintain the peace. So the Frumah soldiers wear sneakers. They say that the Rabbanim told them they shouldn't wear. The Iker Iser only applies to wearing shoes that have leather. And if you're wearing sneakers, so that's not called an al. So you're not over on the real Iser. Okay. And in a shul, you're allowed to wear shoes. There's no din that you have to take off. You have to take off your shoes when you walk into a shul. So there are some of the dinim of Moira HaMikdash are carried over to the Beis HaKnesses, and some of the dinim are not. One of the dinim that is carried over is Kapandaria, that you're not allowed to use the shul as a shortcut if I have to get to the other side of the street. So instead of walking around and around the building of the shul, it's going to take me longer, so I want to make a shortcut and run through the shul. So that's called Kapandaria. So the Gemara says in the end of Brachas, you're not allowed to do that. What about the Rikika? What about the person has accumulated a lot of saliva in his mouth, he wants to spit it out? So to spit on the floor in the Beis Hamikdash, Gemara says you're not allowed to. So spit on the floor of the shul and rub it into the floor, that is allowed. Thus haste in Europe, where the floor of the shul used to be a dirt floor, and that was a common practice that people would do in their own homes. They would cough up saliva and spit it on the floor and rub it into the dirt floor. If you have a carpeted floor, you have a tile floor, so no one does that in their own home. So the Gemara says, what's the rule? How do they know? How do the Tanoim know that Rikikana Besa Knesses is mutter and Kapandaria is aser and shoes is mutter? How do they know? So the Gemara says, the rule is ki beso. If you would be visiting someone else's home, what would Derech Eretz dictate? So Derech Eretz dictates, you don't ring the guy's bell and say, hey, can I run through your house? There's a shortcut, I don't want to run around. The guy's going to say, no, walk around the house. What do you mean? People, normal people are makbid, not to use their homes, not to use their private apartments as a kapandaria. To walk in with shoes, everybody walks into homes with their shoes. To walk in, let's say, with rubbers that are sopping wet. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, even if the shul has a tile floor, and the snow from the boots is not going to ruin the carpet. If it has a carpet, so you're going to stain the carpet. But let's say the shul has no carpet, has this kind of a floor, so what's so bad? So they wash the floor anyway. They're going to wash the floor. And he said, no. But if you would be visiting by someone else, you wouldn't have the chutzpah to walk in with your rubbers. And if you would, the balabas would tell you, please take off your rubbers and leave it over here. So he thought that that's a real isa deraisa, to walk into the shul with wet rubbers on. Or he had a hang-up about pacing back and forth. He said, if you visit in someone's home, a lot of people, when they daven, they pace back and forth. So he thought, when you visit in someone else's home, you're going to start pacing back and forth. The guy will tell you, please sit down, stand still, don't pace back and forth. So he thought that the pace back and forth in shul is a violation of covered Beis HaKnesses. They quote in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that he was upset, why in Balozhin Yeshiva, the Talmidim used to pace back and forth. So they quote that he once made a comment. I never heard this from Rav Soloveitchik, but it's printed in Svarim. It's in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. But he said the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos lists off the different nisim that were taking place in the Beis Hamikdash. And one of them was Omdim Tzfufim u'Mishtachavim Ravachim. So what was the miracle? That even though it was Omdim Tzfufim, it was so crowded there, but when it came time to bow down, to kneel down, so there was enough room for everybody. So that was a pella. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said he thinks that the Omdim Tzfufim was also a miracle, the fact that it was crowded. Why? If it wouldn't be so crowded, so that people would be pacing back and forth in the Beis HaMikdash and then violate the din of Meira HaMikdash. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo made a miracle. They should always be crowded. They shouldn't be like in Valoshin. Shouldn't be able to pace back and forth. So he must have heard this from his grandfather, that he was upset why people pace back and forth in the yeshiva or in the shul. So he used to say it also. He thought that pacing back and forth is also a violation of covered Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara's Loshin at the end of Brachos is, Ki Beiso. The respect that's due to the shul is like if you would be visiting another private person. So bizman ha-gemore was a common practice to spit on the floor and rub it into the floor because it was a dirt floor. The Mishnah Berurah writes that bizman ha-zed, that some of the shuls no longer have a dirt floor. They have a wooden floor, or they have a carpet on the floor, or they have this kind of a floor, and then no one spits on the floor. If you visit someone else's home, you don't do it. So bizman ha-zed, it'll be usur to do such a thing.
What about wearing a coat into the shul, or leaving a coat on a bench in the shul, or leaving bags?
It all depends what's considered acceptable. Covered always is, depends what's considered. Covered is always covered hamadumah. So covered Beis HaKnesses depends what's considered acceptable, what's not. If you visit someone's home, sometimes you bring in your bags with you. Sometimes you don't. I don't know. The Rishonim in Moed Katan in the first perek point out that the Psukim in Chumash indicate later in Chumash that on the occasion of the completion of the building of the Mishkan, they were obligated to celebrate. And they say what it means is that there's a chi of simcha. What's the chi of simcha? So some Sifrei Kabbalah write that what was the purpose of the creation of the whole world? What motivated God to create the world? Rav Soloveitchik once said over there, Rav Chaim went to visit someone, and the fellow wasn't in his home. He went to Rav Simcha Zelig. to visit someone in Warsaw. And the fellow that they were visiting was a Lubavitcher. He wasn't in his home, so they sat there and they were waiting till he came. So Rav Chaim opened up the sefer about Hasidus and he started to read. He read and he slammed it shut. He didn't think it was right. He didn't like it. So Rav Simcha Zelig told the story of it to Rav Soloveitchik. I think he may have printed it in one of his sefer. So he said that what he didn't like was that this sefer was collecting from different Kabbalah sefarim what motivated God to create the world. So one suggestion was that Teva HaTov LaHeitiv, that God is good, and good people don't just want to keep the goodness within their heart. They want to do acts of kindness and goodness to other people, to express their goodness. That God had to create the world. Can't say God had to. God wanted to create the world in order to be able to shower his goodness and his kindness upon others. And the other suggestion that other Sifrei Kabbalah give is that Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Ladira B'Tachtonim. Whatever that means, that God wanted to dwell in this mundane world, didn't just want to live in the heavens. So Rav Chaim was upset about this, he slammed it shut, and he said, this is only by human beings. You can discuss what motivated a person to do something, because human beings always have chesreinus, we're missing something. Someone, why does a guy go get a job? Because he wants to have money. Why did he go shopping in the store? Because he's hungry, he wants to buy food. Why did he go shop for clothing? Because his clothes are all worn out, and he wants to look good. So people do things and know it because they're missing things. So what motivates them is because of the chesreinus that they have. God is complete and perfect. What do you mean? What motivated God to do things? I mean, Teva HaTov LaHeitiv, God felt compelled to create a world in order to be able to shower his kindness. He wasn't compelled to do anything. God is completely tov. He's complete. He's not missing anything. What do you mean? He was bikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu lios ladira b'tachtonim. I mean, he was missing something. He only had a dira b'alyonim. And he wanted to have a dira b'tachtonim, so he thought that it wasn't proper even to discuss such a question. If God had a desire to do something, that itself is Ratzon Hashem. It's not because he was missing something from before. But that's a common expression that appears in many, the Baal HaTanya quotes these Lashonos also, into the different places. One place he writes, what motivated God to create the world was Teva HaTov LaHeitiv, and another place he writes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lios lasis ladir b'tachtonim. So some of the Mefarshim on the Gemara point out that when the Beis HaMikdash was completed and we had Beis Hashem, that was really the completion of the Tachlis, of the creation of the world. The Dira B'Tachtonim doesn't necessarily refer to the Beis HaMikdash. It means to have a whole world where people are keeping mitzvahs Hashem. But the Beis HaMikdash is a high point in this Dira B'Tachtonim. So there is a Gemara in the first Perek in Chagiga where the Gemara has a comment. Ein atzus lefnei hamokim. When one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there isn't any sadness. There's only going to be joy and happiness, as the pasuk says. Hod v'hodol lefanav oiz v'chedvo b'mekoyim. The chedvo is when one is lefnei Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole dvar Torah about this. He shows on a Gemara in Halacha that the chiyuv simcha always comes from being in the presence of Hashem, lefnei Hashem. On Shalosh Regalim and on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, whenever a person is lefnei Hashem, then there's a chiyuv simcha. The Gemara says in the first daf in Eilim Megalchim that the Kain Godel never observes Avelus. The Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes Kain Godel observes Avelus like everybody else, but it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the Kain Godel never observes Avelus because Kain Godel Kol Hashanah Kulo Yisrael Baregel Dami. What's the equation? Kain Godel all year long has a status like Yisrael Baregel. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, you look in the Rambam Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam says you have to have Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have a Kain Godel. And the role of the Kohen Gadol is to be in the Beis HaMikdash all the time, to supervise everything that's happening. So Yisrael Baregel, the Jews on Shalosh Regalim, have an obligation to be Oilo Regel, to visit the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chiyuv Simcha stems from the Chiyuv of being Lefnei Hashem. So Kohen Gadol all year long is the same as Yisrael Baregel. Kohen Gadol all year long has to be Lefnei Hashem. Just like Bnei Yisrael Baregel have to be Lefnei Hashem. Whenever one has an obligation to be Lefnei Hashem, there's a mitzvah of Simcha, and Simcha and Avelus is tied to the Sasri. So that's why the Kohen Gadol never observes Avelus. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was Mamash HaHalacha, that the Mechayiv of Simcha is being Lefnei Hashem. But that's what the Gemara says in the first Perek in Moed Kotel as an Agadita. The Gemara says, Ein Atzvus Lefnei HaMokim, there's never any sadness when one is in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. As the Pasuk says, Hoyd v'hod v'lefon avoyz v'chedvo b'mekoyim. Frek the Gemara Akashe, but there's another Pasuk that contradicts the first Pasuk. It says, B'mistarim tivken nafshi. It says that God is crying privately. So what do you say? Ein atzus lefnei hamokam. So the Gemara says it depends. The Teretz is Habbate Gavoy, Habbate Baroy. And the inner chambers is one way, the outer chambers is another way. So which is which? So many misunderstand the Gemara. So if you read the continuation of the Gemara, it's clear that the Gemara's answer is Bimistarim Tivke Napshi Bimistarim and the Bate Gavoy. In the inner chambers, the Rabban Shalom Taka cries. But the Bate Barai, on the outside, it looks like Hadva Hadalafono is a Chedva Bimkomo. The Meshech Chachma has an essay about this, but this is the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, even without the Meshech Chachma. It's clear from the Hemshech of the Gemara. He says what the Gemara is saying is that the Bate Barai, you look on the outside, there's so many terrible things happening in the world. There are people dying from cancer, and there are murderers, and there are persecutions, and everything. And poverty and sickness and everything, and the sun shines every day, sunshine sets and the flowers are growing and everything keeps on going as if God doesn't care. That's the world goes on as if God doesn't care. It looks as if there's no atzvus, but the other pasuk says in the inner chambers the Ribbono Shel Olam is really crying. He really is upset why things are not going the way he would like them to go. So that's what the Gemara's answer is. In the inner chambers, the Ribbono Shel Olam Taka is crying. He is upset about the way things are going. And the Bate Barai, he doesn't show. He doesn't want to show the public that he's upset. So then the Gemara asks the Kasha, but it's not so. There are psukim in the Neviim where it says, where it's described that when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed the whole world that he was upset at that time. So he just said, only the Bate Gavoy. Only be mistarim tivka nafshi in the inner chambers. In public is only ois v'chedva bimkomo. So the Gemara answers, shiny churban beis hamikdash, the destruction of beis hamikdash, that's considered as if the whole world came to an end. Because the whole purpose of building, a whole purpose of making a whole world is in order to have sort of the building of beis hamikdash was one of the high points of the creation of the world. That was like the apex, the pinnacle of having Dira B'Tachtonim. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's like the whole world collapsed. So of course the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to show in public that he's upset about that. So that's what it seems in the Gemara, that the building of the Beis HaMikdash is considered a bet. Not stam, another mitzvah. You got tzitzis and tefillin and Shabbos and kasris and taras HaMishpach and Beis HaMikdash. No. Beis HaMikdash is considered in a certain sense one of the main purposes of the creation of the world. So that's why the Rishonim point out that when you build a Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah to be mesameach, to celebrate. When Moshe Rabbeinu completed the building of the Mishkan, so they celebrated Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar, and then the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan, the Nesim brought the Chanukah HaNesim. And then the Psukim say when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, so he celebrated Shivas Yomim and Shivas Yomim. And when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he celebrated for 3 weeks, and then the Psukim say in the end of Yecheskel, Asid Lavel, when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, we will be celebrating and bringing special karbonis l'chanukas HaMikdash for over a half a year. The Pesukim say we'll start bringing special karbonis on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It doesn't say which year. Tavshin Samaches. Tavshin Samachna. It doesn't say which year. It just says, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan through Sukkot. So that's over 6 months. So, and the Gemara interprets, and the Gemara points out the karbonis that Yecheskel HaNavi mentions don't correspond to the karbonis Tminim u'Masofim as described in the Chumash. Gemara says, no, it's not a stira. This is in addition to the Tminim u'Masofim. These psukim refer to the karbonis for the Chanukah HaMikdosh. There's always a mitzvah. The Ramban considers this one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Ramban Chumash and Parshas Noso considers this one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Whenever you build a Beis HaMikdosh, you should celebrate. How exactly should you celebrate? Should the Nesim of the 12 Shvatim bring special karbonis? Should you be Doicha Shabbos? Should you have a chazan sing? Should you have a rabbi hold the drasha? Which chazan should sing? Which rabbi should hold the drasha? So that's a hoira shah. How many days should you celebrate? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, half a year. So that's hoira shah, the details. But the Ramban says in principle that there's a mitzvah to celebrate upon completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a mitzvah in a third. So there's a tshuva sefer that's known as Galya Masechta. The author was the rabbi in Navardik, Rab David Navardik. He was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And the reason why he calls it Sefer Galya Masechta is because there's a Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara says that Shaul HaMelech used to give shiurim and David HaMelech gave shiurim. Shaul HaMelech was much David HaMelech was much more successful in his shiurim than Shaul HaMelech. Why so? So the Gemara says the author's name was David. So he says because David HaMelech was more successful than because it was Galya Masechta. And Shaul HaMelech was not as successful because he was Lo Galya Masechta. What does that mean? That's a question. So many Rishonim say that David HaMelech used to give Mar Mekoymus in advance so the Talmidim would prepare. So when he said the shiur, they would argue it out. So the shiur would be worked out better. And Shaul HaMelech never gave Mar Mekoymus in advance, like some people that I know. Because they're not prepared. Okay, the person should be prepared in advance that he should be able to give the Mar Mekoymus. Rav Soloveitchik would obviously give Mar Mekoymus. He would always tell us, 1 week, prepare this for next week, and then he gave a shiur Tuesday and Wednesday. So Tuesday, at the end of the shiur, he would tell us, prepare this for tomorrow. He would give a whole list, because he knew what he planned to say. Okay. If I knew what I planned to say, I would also give my mekayim. So the Gemara says that David HaMelech was more successful in giving the shiurim than Shaul because David was Galya Masechta. So he calls the sefer Galya Masechta. He's David, and he thinks that he's successful in his tshuvas, mainly tshuvas and drushas in the end. So he has a chiddush. He says that just like there's a mitzvah to celebrate when you build a Beis HaMikdash, whenever you happen to build a Beis HaMikdash, Moshe Rabbeinu celebrated, Shlomo HaMelech celebrated, Shivas Yam, Shivas Yam, Ezra celebrated for 3 weeks, Blessed Lava, we're going to celebrate for over 6 months. So he says, so too, when you build a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, which is a Mikdash Miyad, it could be that that's a mitzvah Minatorah. The Mikdash Miyad could be that that has a status of Minatorah, the way the Yireim, quoted by the Chayodim, says, and the way the Rambam, the Minyan HaMitzvah Sakotzer writes. He thinks that there's a mitzvah Minatorah to celebrate on the occasion of completion of a Beis HaMedrash or a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaMikdash was not only the Mokum HaKrobis HaKarbonis, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Beis HaBchira, it's a mitzvah in the Torah to build a Beis HaBchira, to have a Mokum Muchan, to bring Karbonis and to be Oyla Regal, that the Jews should be able to be Oyla Regal. So it's not only for the purpose of bringing Karbonis and be Oyla Regal, to visit the Shechina, it's also the Gemara in Brachas in the first parak points out ki beisi beis tefila yikarei l'chol ha'amim. Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be a place of tefila. That's the whole tefila of Shlomo HaMelech when he built the first Beis HaMikdash. He says, I'm building the Beis HaMikdash in case anyone has a sickness, and so he'll come into the Beis HaMikdash and pray. And in case anyone has a taina against someone else, in case there'll be a famine, in case there'll be an epidemic or a plague or something, so the people will come in to pray and let the non-Jews come in to pray. Beis HaMikdash is a makom tefila for everybody. And then Shlomo HaMelech emphasizes it three times in his tefila. He says, "Vispalo elecho derech habayis hazeh." Everybody should face the Beis HaMikdash when they pray. "Vispalo elecho derech artzam," "Vispalo elecho derech ir hazeh." So the Gemara says earlier in Brachas, the Gemara says that if one is in Chutz La'aretz, he's supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. "Vispalo elecho derech artzam," when he daven Shmoneh Esrei. If one is in Eretz Yisrael, he should face Yerushalayim when he's davening. If one is in Yerushalayim, he should face the Beis HaMikdash based on the three psukim that appear in the Tfilas Shlomo. Vispalo alecha derech artzam, vispalo alecha derech ha'ir hazoz, vispalo alecha derech habayis hazeh. The Rambam in the beginning of Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Tfilo writes that there's a mitzvah in our Torah to daven once a day every day. Mid the Rabbanon in the Institute, you should daven three times a day. And the Nusach HaTfilah is Mid the Rabbanon. In our Torah, there's no fixed Nusach. You just have to have you have to have Shevach and Bakosh and Hoidoya. And Mid the Rabbanon, they fixed the particular Nusach HaTfilah. So the Rambam gives you the history. He says, first, the mitzvah in our Torah, and then this was like this until the days of the Ezra. And then they, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilo, in the beginning of the Beis Sheni period, composed the Nusach HaTfilah 3-4 times a day, 5 times a day. So that's what we follow. So when the Rambam writes the Dinim Deraisa, before he gets to the Dinim Derabbanan, he writes, you have to daven once a day, every day, Nochach HaMikdosh. But the Rambam would appear that Nochach HaMikdosh is a Din Deraisa. So Soloveitchik told some Rabbanim, when they're building their new shuls, they should be careful to see to it that the Aron Kodesh should be towards Eretz Yisrael. A lot of the shuls that we daven in do not have the Aron Kodesh Nechach HaMikdash. So people are not facing Mizrach. So Rav Soloveitchik said that's a violation of a biblical din. You look in the Rambam, beginning of Hilchas Tefillah. It sounds like he holds it's a din derais. So the Gemara quotes all these psukim that the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to be the Beis Tefillah. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said the whole time. The Jews and the non-Jews, everybody should come daven in the Beis Hamikdash, and if they can't come to daven, they should face the Beis Hamikdash. We have the pasuk in Eicha that says Gam Kiezak Vashabei Asasam Tefilasi. That after Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash, Nina Alu Shari Tefillah. After the Gemara says in Perek Hazov, after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the prayers are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be answered Bizman She Beis Hamikdash Ayikam, because the Beis Hamikdash is the Mokom HaMiyuchad for Kabbalah Satfilos. The Gemara also says, though, that the Beis Hamikdash is the center of the Torah Shebal Peh and the Torah Shebichzab as well. The Sanhedrin has to meet Somach Lamizbeach. That's the first Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim. Lomadis Mecha Parshas Dayanim Le Parshas Hamizbeach. At the end of Bishalach it says you should build the Mizbeach. At the beginning of Mishpatim it talks about Sanhedrin. So why is Sanhedrin mentioned next to Mizbeach? To teach you that you have to have, the Sanhedrin has to be in a specific location. Malam Shal Mokim Gorim. Is a shaila whether Mokim Gorim means Dapke Lishkas Hagoz is in the Beis Hamikdash or all of Yerushalayim. But this is clear. Once in Sanhedrin, they went Esa Golias Golsa Sanhedrin. So after the Sanhedrin left Yerushalayim, so then the Gemara says, for sure, they weren't able to be done Din in the Foshas anymore. Maybe the beginning, maybe when they went out of the Lishkas Hagozes and they were still in Yerushalayim, maybe that's still considered Mokim Gorim.
I think that chat about that, Tfilah doesn't answer the same way as the today, so that they were in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, what do we do that the psukim that talk about the mouths of this morning of Beis Hamikdash being stored up, by Hashem, Hashem stored them all up, right? I mean, the son is Agmas Nefesh and it's like that, and Hashem stores them up in the house, right?
Yeah, the Gemara doesn't say the prayers are not answered at all. Prayers are not answered to the same extent that they used to be Bizman She Beis Hamikdash Hayikaim. The prayers are answered, not as much as before. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim that the Sanhedrin represents Hein Iker Torah Shebal Peh. They represent the whole tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh. Sanhedrin is not just for the purpose of paskening certain cases that come up. The cases that came up rarely came up. What here any dachas? One time it says it never came up. In donim es hashevet, how often was there interpreting one shevet and another? It was very rare. The main function of the Bez Nagadol is not so much to be done those rare cases, and also not really to paskin ki palim uchadav al mishpat when there would be dibrei rivas b'sharecha. The Bez Nagadol would take a stand. Most of the time they didn't take a stand. They left the machlokes. Most of the time it wasn't dibrei rivas b'sharecha. It wasn't ripping apart the community. And Shevet Zvulun, they followed their Bezdin, and Shevet Yisachar, they followed their Bezdin. Like in Europe, every community, they followed their rabbi, and they were chiluki des. They didn't bring every Shiloh up to the Bezdin HaGadol that they should make a hachra. Once in a long time, the Bezdin HaGadol would make a hachra. So what do you need a Bezdin HaGadol for? If they hardly, what are you salarying? You're giving salary to 71 people, they hardly do anything. The answer is no. It's supposed to be the international kollel of Klal Yisrael for the purpose of preserving the Torah Shebal Peh. That's how the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. So the Bez Nagadol is supposed to meet in the Beis Hamikdash, could be in Yerushalayim, is also good, we'll talk in a minute. Yerushalayim is also an extension of the Beis Hamikdash, because the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to be the center of the Torah Shebal Peh, supposed to be the center of the Torah Shebichzav as well. The Ramban writes on Chumash that the Mishkan is referred to as Mishkan Ha'edus because the Luchos were referred to as Luchos Ha'edus, and a main purpose, or perhaps the main purpose of the Mishkan is to have a building to house the Luchos. Maybe that's why you bring Korbanos there, maybe that's why you visit Oyle Regal there, maybe that's why there's Ashras Ashchina, because you're housing the Luchos. The Luchos were given a Har Sinai. So we want to be Mamshech, the Maimon Har Sinai. That's the Ramban HaChumash has that idea. You want to preserve the Maimon Har Sinai. So the Shechina is not Begiloi like it was at Har Sinai, but the Shechina is Beseisa. So the Chumash has that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the Sefer Torah and he commanded the Levim, Lekach the Moshe, but Sam the Moshe, but Tzad Aram Bris Hashem, Hayisham B'choliyeh, that the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote and he gave to Shevet Levi, he told them they should keep it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right near the Luchas. Rav Soloveitchik used to point out from time to time that the Sefer Azara, the Sefer Torah that's located in the Azara, has a special status. Rashi holds that the Kangodal on Yom Kippur leans from the Sefer Azara. In Bava Basra, in the first parak, there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What is the role of the Sefer Azara? So some Shalom say, you lean Hakel from the Sefer Azara. Others say the Kangodal on Yom Kippur leans Davka from the Sefer Azara. The Sifrei points out on the Pasuk Ma'ona Elokei Kedem that there was a period of time that there were different Sifrei Torah. In some of the Sifrei Torah it said Ma'on Elokei Kedem without the hay, and others said Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. We have Ma'ona. So the Rabbanim checked the Sefer Azara. At that time there were three Sifrei Torah in the Azara. And they saw that there also there was a Stira. Two of the Sifrei HaAzara had Ma'ona and one of them had Ma'on. So they decided to go Basarayv. So since two out of the three had Ma'ono, so they determined that that's the correct text. So Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, why did they only look in the Sefer Azar? They should have counted up all the Sefer Torah in the whole wide world to see what the majority of the Sefer Torah are. So he said, you see that it's a special linen Sefer Azar. Sefer Azar is for the purpose of preserving the accurate text of the Torah Shebichsav. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. V'samta mosa b'tzad aram b'ris Hashem. Oh yeah, what's another din of Sefer Azara? Again, some Shem Bava Basra daf tezvav, I think, machleg is Rashi and Tosfos. What do you use Sefer Azara for? So some Shem say Yelein Hakel. Some Shem say the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It's a din deraisa. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to lay in the parsha in conjunction with the Avodas Hayoyim. And the Rambam quotes a Tosefta that the Sefer Torah Shel Melech, the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, that every individual Jew has an obligation to write or to commission a sefer, to write a sefer Torah. We usually assume that we're yotzei b'shutfus. So we all chip in together, and every 40 years or so, now it's every other year. So every 40 years or so, somebody writes a sefer Torah, so someone fills in a letter, so we're yotzei b'shutfus. That's how many poskim hold that you can be yotzei in the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah b'shutfus. So the Melech, in addition to the Chiyuv that Kol Yisrael have to write one Sefer Torah, Melech has an obligation to write a second Sefer Torah, Mishnah HaTorah Zos, another Sefer Torah. So the Rambam quotes from the Tosefta and Sanhedrin that the Sefer Torah Shel Melech has to be Magim also, I'll be Sefer HaZor. What do you mean Magim also? It means whenever you write a Sefer Torah, the Gemara has a din, it's quoted in the Yeridah, you're supposed to have a Sefer Torah in front of you and copy this new Sefer Torah from the old one. Even if you're a genius and you remember, you have a tikkun in front of you. Or if you remember the whole spelling of all the letters, you know what's mali, what's chatzah. You shouldn't write it from memory. You shouldn't write it from a tikkun. You should write it from having a text of the Sefer Torah in front of you. So the Sefer Torah Shel Melech should be copied from the Sefer Azara. That's what it sounds like, a magiim osa. What do you mean, magiim osa? To correct it. So it probably means, that's what Rav Soloveitchik, but it probably means when you write the Sefer Torah Shel Melech in the first place, you're supposed to always copy a Sefer Torah from another Sefer Torah. So the Sefer Torah Shel Melech has to have a special status to it. Has to be copied from the Sefer Hazar. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Beis Hamikdash is not only the central location of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's why the Sanhedrin has to meet there, has to be the central location for the Torah Shebichsav also. That's why the Sefer Hazara is the official text that you're supposed to check all the Sefer Torah against.
The Sefer Torah that they found during the King Melech Yeshayahu,
I think it sounds like it.
So what was the big discovery? It sounds like from the Pesukim like it was something we didn't have before. So why is there a big discovery?
I don't know. Maybe they put it in hiding. Maybe it was neglected. No one ever. They were violating all the mitzvahs HaTorah. So no one was interested in looking in the Sefer Torah. I don't know. The whole story is tamua. What was going on? I don't know. All the stories in Tanakh, 99% of the stories are missing, so we don't really know, we don't fully understand what's going on. The Kuzari writes that the Beis HaMikdash is also the center of all of the Nevi'im, that all of the Nevi'im were inspired to get their Nevu'ah. The Gemara says that Yonah HaNavi was inspired to get his Nevu'ah when he was. He was a plain balabas, he didn't go special to a kollel to learn Nevu'ah. A different kollel, kollel for Shulchan Aruch, kollel for Gemara, kollel for Nevuah. So he wasn't for the Talmidei Haravim, wasn't for the Bnei Haravim. But just one fine yontif, he went to the Oyla Regal and Shar Sol of Ruach HaKodesh, and he got a nevuah. So the Kuzari writes that all of the Nevi'im always were roaming around the Beis HaMikdash, so all of them got the nevuahs somehow near the Beis HaMikdash. When we say that some of the Rishonim, I think the Rasha Mishnais Kalim writes like that, that Malamit Shahamokim Goreim, the special status of the Bez Nagodol is only when they are in their special locations. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Rasha Mishnais Kalim writes, the special location doesn't necessarily have to be Beis HaMikdash, it can be anywhere in Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's based on the Mishnah in Kalim in the first Perek, where the Mishnah speaks about Esa Kedusha saying, there are 10 levels in Kedushas HaMikdash. We know the different levels of, we know there's Harabayis, has a lower level than Hazara. Then you have Minatar, the whole Harabais has one status. And the Rabban and the Mishnayis point out that they broke up the Harabais into three parts. The innermost part of the Harabais is the Ezra Snoshim. The second part is the Chil. So they introduce Chumris from the Rabban in the second part, and then more Chumris in the third part. But Minatar, the whole Harabais is one unit. Then you have the Hazara. So most of the Azara Alpidin has the same status Minatar. The Rabbana they made Ezes Yisrael and Ezes Kohanim. The first 11 Amas were for Yisraelim to go, and the Yisraelim are not supposed to go past that. We assume that that's Midi Rabbana. Ezes Kohanim, where we don't permit Yisraelim to roam around, that's a Chumra Midi Rabbana Alpi Pashtas. And then you have Tzofon. Tzofon has a special status from the rest of the Azara. Shchitas Kochi Kochim. Shchitas matzofim the kibul donan b'chlishoyes matzofim. That's a din deraisa, that that part of the azara, the right hand side of the azara, has a status of tzofim. The different opinions in the Tanoim, how much of the right hand side? One opinion is only nochach hamizbeach, only that sliver of the right side opposite the mizbeach. The other opinion is the mizbeach and further in, and deeper in, and the other opinion is even further out. That whole right side of the azara is considered tzofim. Different opinions in Tanoim and Zvachim. Then you have another part, so that's a difference alpidin, different parts of the Azar. Then you have Ben Ha'ulam Vela Mizbeach. In between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, that has special dinim takam in HaTorah. According to many Rishonim, that has different dinim in HaTorah. Then you have the Heichal has special dinim, and then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim has special dinim. So what do you have alpidin? You have Kodesh HaKadoshim as one level, you have the Heichal, you have Ben Ha'ulam Vela Mizbeach, some Rishonim hold has a special status. Then you have Azara, and then you have Harabayis. So the Mishnah had, we have five. So the Mishnah says there are Eser Kedushas, there are 10 levels. So the Mishnah starts off, Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol HaRotzai Shevivim Emenu HaOymer Shtei Alechem. The Oymer Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. So the Mefarshim ask an obvious question on the Mishnah. Why does it quote such an obscure din that no one ever heard of? Why doesn't it say Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol HaRotzai Shechayovim Lekayim Bo Kol HaMitzvos HaKliyos Baretz? If you're trying to say what's unique about Eretz Yisrael, all the agricultural mitzvahs, chumas and ma'aseh, shmita v'yoyva, leket shikropeya, chala, everything only applies min HaTorah and Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in chutzlos. Why the Mishnah pick on these two obscure dinim? The Omer and the Shtei Alechem have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. So the answer is, Rabbi Nachum Zembe explains, he has all long kuntris on the Esei Kedushas. Rabbi Nachum Zembe had a yedid, a friend of his. They were big goyim adirim, they were businessmen. They knew Yerushalmi, Bavli, they knew Kol HaTorah Kulo. And they were all in business. So one of his friends, who was also a businessman, put out the Sifrei Zuta with footnotes. And he asked Rabbi Nachum Zema if he wants to add some He'orah. So he added a law on Kuntris on the Brisa of Eser Kedushas, which is a Mishnah in the first Perek in Kalim. And it's the first paragraph in the Sifrei Zuta. And there are slight discrepancies between the way it appears in the Mishnayos and the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. So Menachem Zem wrote a law on Kuntris, something like 100 pages or so, on the Oitzer HaSifrei, it's called, on the Eser Kedushas. So he explains, and Rav Soloveitchik always used to say this, what does it mean that there are Eser Kedushas? So it doesn't mean that there are 10 levels of Kedusha in the world. No, there are 10 levels of Kedushas based on Mikdosh. That's why the Mishnah doesn't say Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes has been called Haratzah Shachayavim Bo Bechol HaMitzvos HaKliyos Baretz. That has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdosh. Mitzvos HaKliyos Baretz because it's Kedushas HaAretz. No, the Mishnah means to say Eretz Yisrael has the lowest level of Kedushas HaMikdosh. The highest level of Kedushas HaMikdosh is in the Kodesh HaKadosh in Bein Abadim. Then the rest of the Kodesh Kodashim has a slightly lower level of Kedusha. Then you have the Heichal, has a lower level of Kedusha. Then you have the Ulam, has slightly lower level of Kedusha. Then you have Bein Hulam Ulam Mizbeach. Then you have the rest of the Azar. Then you have Ezra's Kohanim, Ezra's Yisrael, Midirabbanan, there's a difference. And then you have the three levels of the Har HaBayis. Then you have Yerushalayim has a lower level of Kedusha based on Mikdosh. With respect, where do you see that Yerushalayim has a lower level? That you eat Kochim Kalim in Yerushalayim. So it shows that it has a lower level of Kedusha based on Mikdosh. And then it says, Eretz Yisrael, Mekodesh, Mekol HaRa. All of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a lowest level of Kedusha based on Mikdosh, in addition to having Kedusha Sa'aretz, that's a separate Kedusha Lechud, which is Mechayiv in the Mitzvah Sa'atlis Ba'aretz. But all Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha Sa'amikdosh, as if there would be a volcano that erupted and the lava is spilling all over the place. So the Kedusha based on Mikdosh spills out and extends out throughout all of Eretz Yisrael with respect to what? Means in principle, the Oymer Shtei Lechem should be grown in the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean grown in the Beis HaMikdash? They'll kick you out. When you're going to plant the wheat, the barley in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Din says you can plant it anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. So that's really what we mentioned before. The Rasha Mishnais writes that Malamed Shamokim Goreim, that the Bez Nagodol only have their special status when they're in their special location. So he writes, it doesn't have to necessarily be the Mishkas Hagazas, Mamish Samach L'Mizbeach. That was where it normally was. But I think he writes that anywhere in Yerushalayim is still considered Malamish HaMakom Gorm. Because all of Yerushalayim has it to a certain extent, Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael also has to a certain extent, but that's a lower extent. So that's not sufficient. So that's the question, how much of a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash do you have to have that the Sanhedrin should have their special status? Does it have to be Dafke in the Lishkas Hagazas? The Lishkas Hagazis was Bani Bakodesh, and the Gemara says the Lishkas Hagazis, the room where the Bez Nagodol met, half of it had Kedushas Hazara, half of it had Kedushas Harabais, and it had two doorways. There was a doorway, there was a Pesach where you could lead from the Hazara into the Lishkas Hagazis, in and out, and then there was a doorway to go from the Harabais, in and out. So the Gemara says if you have such a room in the Beis HaMikdash, Shasta Lishka, which is Chetzia Bakodesh, half of it is built on the Azar, half of it is built on Har HaBayis, and it has two entrances leading to the part that's on Har HaBayis, leading to the part that's built on the Azara. So the part that's on Har HaBayis, you're allowed to sit there, and the part on the Azara, you're not allowed to sit, and Yeshiva Bazara. So the Bez Nagodol used to sit in this half of the Lishkas HaGazis, where you're allowed to sit. You're allowed to sit in the Har HaBayis. And the other half, they themselves or anyone else, would not be allowed to sit there. You had to stand there. So that's a shaila. Is that's called Malamed Shamakom Gorm? It has to be Dafke, the place that's Mekudesh B'Kedushas Har HaBayis, Chetzi HaBakodesh V'Chetzi HaBachol. That's what it means. So the Rashi Mishnah thinks, no, anywhere in Yerushalayim is good enough. Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael is not good enough. For the purposes of Tefillah, Shlomo HaMelech says in his Tefillah, "Tefillah Alecha Derech Haratzon." Everybody in Chutz La'aretz should face Eretz Yisrael. We don't have to face Yerushalayim. We don't have to face Beis HaMikdash. As long as you face Eretz Yisrael, that's sufficient. Those who are in Eretz Yisrael should face Yerushalayim. Those who are in Yerushalayim should face the Beis HaMikdash. But those in Chutz La'aretz don't have to face Yerushalayim. Just is Pala Allah Derech Haratzon, that's sufficient.
Before the Beis HaMikdash was built, let's say Mishkan Shiloh, so they would face Shiloh?
That's how the Rambam says. Nochach HaMikdash was a Din D'Oraisa. Yeah. That's what it sounds like in the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Tefillah. He writes what was the din deraisa of Tefillah, and then what were the din of the Rabbanim. They changed it. So part of the din deraisa, he says, you should daven nochach HaMikdash. That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that Rambam.
And also, before the Beis HaMikdash was built, so it took 440 years. So for 440 years, they didn't have the Sanhedrin? There was no Sanhedrin?
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. The Minchas Chinuch points out that whenever you have in the Chumash the term Lefnei Hashem, it means in the Beis HaMikdash, often means in the Beis HaMikdash, but sometimes it's referring to different parts of the Beis HaMikdash. It says, V'yachalto Hashem Lefnei Hashem Lekecha Maisa Digonecha V'sirosh V'yitzarecha V'chores B'korcha V'tzeinecha. So where do you eat Maisa Sheni Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim? So in the context of that pasuk, the term Lefnei Hashem means Yerushalayim. V'shachatas ben abokah Lefnei Hashem in the beginning of Chumash Vayikra means you have to shecht all karbonis in the Azara. You can't shecht it somewhere else. So there the term Lefnei Hashem means Azara. Then you have a pasuk in Tila Mechatzot Tzvot, well, Kol Shofar Hariyu Lefnei HaMelech Hashem. So the Gemara says what the pasuk is teaching you is that even though on Rosh Hashanah outside of the Beis Hamikdash, you only have to blow shofar, but in the Beis Hamikdash, when they blow shofar, they should blow chatzotzos together with it. But chatzotzos is called shofar, hariu lefnei hamelech Hashem, in the Beis Hamikdash, lefnei hamelech Hashem. And even though on the Tainus Tzibur, you only blow chatzotzos all over the world, but in the Beis Hamikdash, when you blow chatzotzos on the Tainus Tzibur, al atzara tares, on harias and chatzotzos, in conjunction with the chatzotzos, you should blow the shofar as well. Because it says b'chatzotzos with kol shofar hariyu lefnei hamelech Hashem. So the Gemara says, in which part of the Beis Hamikdash? So the Gemara says Har HaBayis also in Yerushalayim, not, but in Har HaBayis yes. So sometimes the term lefnei Hashem means only azar. Shochet hazman habakel lefnei Hashem is only the azar, and sometimes lefnei Hashem means azara and Har HaBayis, and sometimes it even means Yerushalayim. The different levels, because these Eser Kedushas, these are the 10 levels of Kedushas Beis Hamikdash. Lefnei Hashem often means in the Beis Hamikdash. At the end of the parsha, the Torah describes the chotzer hamishkan. You have to have a chotzer. Chotzer hamishkan was the azar. So it was 100 amas by 50 amas. That was the size that the Chatz HaMishkan had to be. Is that nogeh to us? I'll be pashtus, no. We don't have, we're going to have a Bais HaShlishi. Doesn't apply to the Bais Rishon, to the Bais Sheni. It didn't apply to Mishkan Shiloh. So the Gemara has a din derabbanon based on this pasuk. There's a din of karpif. That the Bais So means an area that's 50 amas by 50 amas. Bais So Sayim means two times the Bais So, 100 amas by 50 amas. So if you have mechitza around an area, it's considered a Rishus HaYachid. What if you have a mechitza around an area where nobody lives there? It's still called a Rishus HaYachid. So what if you make a mechitza around a big farm? You have a kibbutz in Eretz Yisrael. And they make an Erev around the whole farm. So and nobody, let's say nobody lives there inside the enclosed area. And they're makbid that no one should walk over there because you're going to ruin all the vegetables that are growing. So that's a chumra midirabbanan, that even though in our Torah the makam mukaf mechitzis has a din of Rishus HaYachid, someone standing in Rishus HaRabim throws something in, it'll be chayiv chatos, it's a malocha deraisa. But midirabbanan we treat it like a karmelis, and you're not permitted to carry in the karp of Yoser midalad amas. You're only allowed to carry less than dalad amas. So that's a din midirabbanan. Does Beis HaSayim play any role on the level of deraisa? So there is a Gemara in Erevin where the Gemara raises a question and never gives the answer. The Gemara leaves you hanging in midair. The din is that mechitzas that are below the surface of the water are also considered mechitzas. So the Gemara says every continent has a continental shelf. When you come to the edge of the continent, so it's like a beach, so it goes in slowly. But if you go further out into the ocean, there's going to be a point where it's going to be a sudden drop. It's going to be a sudden drop of 10 tefachim tall. So if al pi din mechitza under the water is good minatar, it's only a chumah midirabbanan not to rely on a mechitza that's under the water. But minatar, mechitza that's below the surface of the water is good. So every continent should be Rishus HaYachid, because it has this continental stuff that goes around and around. So the Gemara raises the question on Dav Chav Beis. And the Gemara says, well, obviously that's not correct. And, you know, so the whole world is going to be Rishus HaYachid. So there's not Rishus HaRab. Obviously it's not correct. So what's the answer? So the Gemara never says. So the Rishonim have to give an answer. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that there are three answers. The Tosis has an answer. Tosis and the Rosh have, and the Ramban has. And the Ritva has a variation of a different version of what the Ramban said. So the Rosh explains over there. The Tosfei Rosh explains, even though this concept of Yosem Beis HaSayim Shal Hukaf Ledira is only midirabbanan on the whole din of Karpif, but it plays a role on the level of their Isa. If you have Mechitzas Omdos Me'alehem, you have the continental shelf, it's not a Mechitza B'dei Odom, it's a Mechitza B'dei Shamayim. And the area that's enclosed, is Yosem Beis HaSayim, which usually only is a din midirabbanan. But here, if you have a combination of three factors, it'll become a din der Isa. You have Mechitza Hameres Me'aleha. The Gemara said Mechitza Medes Me'leo is good, but it's a chisaron. So if you have Mechitza Medes Me'leo, number one. Number two, the area enclosed is Yosem Beis HaSayim. And number three, this continental shelf does not block the flow of traffic. The boats can go, the people who are swimming, whoever wants to go can go in and out. So it's also Rabbi Mavatle Mechitza. So if you have the combination of all three factors together, that kills a Mechitza on the level of the rice. If it's Mechitza Meres Me'aleha, Yosem Ebeis Asayim, and it's also Rabbi Mavatle Mechitza. So the combination of all three together kills the Mechitza. So the Gemara is basing that shir of Beis Asayim, according to Taisus, according to the Rosh, it's a Din Deraisa, is based on the Chatzar HaMishkan. And the Din Derabbanan of Karpiv is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. It's patterned after a Din Deraisa, that this shir of Yosem Beis Asayim, Beis Asayim as opposed to Yosem Beis Asayim, this is considered a small enclosed area, that's considered a larger enclosed area, plays a role on the level of the Raisa. It's learned out from the Mishkan somehow.
I thought the Rav said that Beis HaSayim is only if no one's living in it. All the kinds of rooms, there are people living in them.
Yeah, but originally when the continents were created in Sheshes Nevereshes, nobody was living anywhere. So originally this Mechitza was Bidei Shamayim.
One of the continents has that someone living on it, because in Sheshes,
Adam Rishon came later. No, when the Mechitza was put up, there was nobody there yet. Mechitza was there before Adam Rishon was there. Hukaf Ladira means that the Mechitza was made after people already lived there. But if the Mechitza was made before, here the Mechitza was B'day Shamayim. That's called Lo Hukaf Ladira. There was nobody there at the time the Mechitza was put up. Later on, people did move in. But it depends on the time the Mechitza was put up. Very surprising. How did they learn it out from the Chatzar HaMishkan? Very strange. What does the Chatzar HaMishkan have to do with Hilchos Shabbos? Then the Gemara has another drasha on the pasuk at the end of the parsha. The Chatzar HaMishkan was 100 amos long and 50 amos wide. So the first 50 amos by 50 amos, they were clear. There was nothing there. And then in the second part, that's where you had the Mishkan was there with the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal and the Mizbeach. Everything was in the second half. But the first half was clear. There was nothing there. So the pasuk says, V'rochel chamishim v'chamishim. The first 50 by 50 was clear. There was nothing there. Orech HaChotze Me'ob. It really should say like this, next to the last pasuk. Orech HaChotze Me'ob Bo'amo V'rochel chamishim Bo'amo. It doesn't say that. It says, Orech HaChotze, the Azara was Me'o'amo. Barochav, and the width was chamishim chamishim. It wasn't chamishim chamishim. The width was 50. So Rashi explains from the Gemara that the front part was 50 by 50, was clear, there was nothing there. And the Mizbeach with the Kiyor, with the Heichal, with the Kodesh HaKadosh, was all in the inner half, the second chamishim chamishim. So the Gemara has an additional comment on this pasuk. Chamishim chamishim is a square, 50 by 50. So the pasuk is being meramis to us. Max Mumming says the pasuk is being meramis to us. You should take the Chatzar HaMishkan, which is 100 by 50, and what's the 100 times 50? What's the how many square amis are there? 5,000. Yes, 100 by 50 is 5,000. Then take the square root of 5,000. Take the 5,000 and make it into a square. And then take the square root of that, so that'll be Shiva Mama Vishirayim, 70 and 2/3. By 70 and 2/3 is going to be 5,000. And that's a Shir Benegit to certain dinim. Shiva Mama Vishirayim is a Shir Benegit. The maximum you can say is that's a Remes. So what is that a Shir Benegit to what? So the Gemara says when you have a city, how far does the city extend? But again, to Tchum Shabbos, there are more paskins for Ashkenazim that the whole institution of Tchum Shabbos is only with the Rabbanan, even Yud Beis Mil. Everything is only with the Rabbanan. The Chabad paskins that Yud Beis Mil is a din deraisa. So let's say ben again to there is some dinim deraisa, Irani Dachas is a din deraisa. How much of the city is considered? Where do the city limits end? Or a miklot is a din deraisa. Where do the city limits end? Where is it considered or a miklot? So the Mishnayos have dinim. The houses have to be close to each other within Shivim Amma B'Shirayim. So where they figure that out is based on this pasuk. V'rochel chamishim chamishim. You should take the 100 by 50 and make it into a square, and then take the square root of the square. What if you make 100 by 50 into a square, so each bar of the square is going to be 70 and 2/3. And that shear is relevant for halachas. So some Rishonim say that some of these dinim are deraisa. Some of the dinim, many of the dinim where we use the shir Shivim Amma B'Shirayim is only with the Rabbanan. Let's say the Chazon Ish writes in one place. Very surprising. Chazon Ish writes in one place. Comes up halacha ma'aseh. Let's say the soldiers in the army are scattered all over on a field, and they want to daven Chazaras Hashatz. They want to have Dovish B'Kedusha. So you have to have a minyan. So we know, we were discussing the other day, you have to have 10 people in one room. If you have 9 people in one room, 9 people in another room, Mitzasim Roy Meilu Eselu. So the Mishnah Berurah says he really shouldn't be Mekel. It's a suggestion in the Tshuvas HaRashba, but the Rashba himself holds that it's not Mitzarf, not the same as Ben Shemizun. So the Gemara only talks about the minyan, all the people on one room, 9 people in one room, 9 people in another room, not mitzarfim to a minyan. What if they're not in a room at all? Let's say they're scattered about on a field, and the chazan is going to be in the middle. He's going to scream, has a booming voice. He's going to scream out loud the kedusha. How far apart can they be scattered away that they can be mitzarfim to the minyan? So the Chazon Ish says shivim amah b'shirayim. And he claims that that's a din derais. Shivim amah b'shirayim is a din derais. Other Rishonim have other cases, not the Chazon Ish. They have other cases where shivim amah b'shirayim is used as a shir derais. Very surprising that the whole drasha is not. You don't even exactly understand what the remez is, but that's the Gemara made a remez based on this pasuk. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah writes that there's a mitzvah to be mechabed a Sefer Torah. We have a pasuk in Kol Mishmar Pnei Sefer Tokum v'Hadarta Pnei Zokin. You have to be mechabed a Talmud Chacham. So there's one Gemara that says if Mipnei Lomdeha Omdim Mipaneha Leikoshkein, if you stand up for the Talmud Chacham, the whole reason why I stand up for the Talmud Chacham because he represents the Torah, so you certainly have to stand up when they carry in a Sefer Torah. So one Gemara says that it's based on that pasuk that you have to show kabed for the Sefer Torah. There's another Gemara that contradicts it, where the Gemara complains about the Hani Bavloi Tipshoi, the Jews who lived in Bavel were foolish. They would only stand up for the Talmud Chacham, and they would only stand up for the Sefer Torah. The Kaimim Mikami Sefer Torah, the Kaimim Mikami Gavar Rabbah. They would only stand up for the Sefer Torah, and they wouldn't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. So why are they Tipshoi? Kovet Sefer Torah is Mochom, and then Kovet Talmud Chacham. So the Rishonim consider these two Gemaras as contradictory. So the Ran says, and the Ran on Kiddushin, the end of the first pair, he says he doesn't think that it's a contradiction. The whole source for standing up for the Sefer Torah is based on a Kal V'chaimer of the Pasuk that says, "Pnei Sefer Tok Mahadarta Pnei Zokin." So if you don't observe the Pasuk, so why do you observe the din that's only derived to a Kal V'chaimer? But he doesn't think that it's a contradiction. Other Rishonim say, no, it looks like it's a contradiction. One Gemara sounds like it says that Kovet Sefer Torah is Mochomer. Then Kovet Talmid HaChacham. The other Gemara sounds like it's saying Kovet Talmid HaChachamim is Mochamim than Kovet Sefer Torah. So that's what some Doruch Laner, Amakas, talks about this Kasha. The one Gemara is in Makas, the other Gemara is in Kiddushin, the end of the first Perek in Kiddushin. So Doruch Laner and the other Rachmanim say they think the Teretz is who is the Talmud Chacham? They're a Talmid HaChachamim and they're a bigger Talmid HaChachamim. The Gemara says, Hani Babloi Tipshoi. The Kaimim Mikami Sefer Torah, the Kaimim Mikami Gavra Rabba. That's not a Talmud Chacham. Gavra Rabba means a big Talmud Chacham. So a big Talmud Chacham, the Chiyuv Kovet to the big Talmud Chacham is greater than the Chiyuv Kovet to the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara is Kal V'chaimer that if you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham, you certainly have to stand up for a Sefer Torah. That means a Talmud Chacham is not a Gavra Rabba. So if the Chumash says you have to stand up for him, they certainly have to stand up for a Sefer Torah. The higher level than Kovet of the Sefer Torah is a Kovet of a Gavra Rabba. That's what the Aruch Laner and a few Achareinim, they think that that's the Teretz. So it's interesting, the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes all the dinim of Kovet Sefer Torah, and he says that everything is based on the Pasuk in Parshas Truma, that it says you have to make an Oroin, the Osiso Aron Atzei Shittim. What was the purpose of the Oron? So the Rambam assumes that it's not from the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a mitzvah to make a Beis HaMikdash with the Kelim. So the Rambam assumes that the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash are the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbachos and the kiyor. That's a Beis HaMikdash with kelim. The oren is not really from the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. The oren is to house the luchos. So the Rambam writes, if the halacha requires, you have to show kovet, what do you have to have a place to house the luchos? Wrap it up in some plastic garbage bag. And put it on the floor over there. So the answer is no, you have to be mechabe the luchas. So the Rambam sounds like he's saying a kal v'chaim. If the din requires you have to be mechabed the luchos, all it has is the aseres adibris. Kal v'chaim, you have to be mechabed the sefer Torah, because the sefer Torah has the aseres adibris written in it, plus much more. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. It's a little bit surprising. The Rambam sounds like he's saying that the kedusha of any old sefer Torah is a higher level of kedusha than the kedusha of the aseres adibris. Aseres Adibris is the author's original copy engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's more valuable. If you would sell it on at an auction, so it's it would bring in much more money than a Stam Sefer Torah that was just written. That's as far as how valuable it is. That's other things, other aspects. But just as far as the level of Kedusha, so from the Rambam, he says, you have to be Mechabed the Luchas. Of course, you have to be Mechabed the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah has everything that's written in Luchas plus more. The whole level of Kedusha is determined on religious articles, is determined based on how many psukim you have. The Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Tefillin, because it has the four parashas plus more. And the Tefillin have more Kedusha than the Mezuzah, because the Mezuzah only has two parashas, and the Tefillin have Shema, Vahoyom, Shemaya, plus Kadesh, Vahoyoki, Viyacho. And the Gemara says that the Shalrosh has a higher level of Kedusha than the Shalyad. We assume because the Shalrosh has a shin, and the Shalyad doesn't have a shin, has one letter more. Depending on how much Divrei Torah you have written there, that's what determines how much Kedusha you have. So the Rambam writes that the mocker for Kovod Sefer Torah is this pasuk, V'asisa Aron Atzei Shitim. Torah requires of us we should be Mechabe the Luchos, Mechabed the Sefer Torah, by putting it in a Makam B'yuchad. On top of the Oron was the Kaporis with the Kruvim, and the Kruvim represent Kemar Ishvilev Yosai, like Mar means hugging. It's a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim and a Pasuk in Malachim. Like a husband hugs his wife, so too the Kruvim were hugging each other, representing the idea that a Zohar and a Keva, a husband and a wife, hug each other, and this represents the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that there seems to be a contradiction between the Psukim. In the Chumash it says that the Kruvim were facing each other, Pnei Mishalochiv, they were facing each other. And the Pasuk says that they were hugging each other. Then there's a Pasuk in Malachim that says that the Pnei Labayis, they were facing the Bayis, they weren't facing each other. But he didn't make new Kruvim. It was the same Aron with the same Kruvim. So the Gemara says that when the Jewish people were keeping the mitzvahs properly and their Baruch Shalom was happy with us, so the Kruvim were facing each other, hugging each other. And when we weren't keeping the mitzvahs, so a miracle occurred. The Kruvim were made from gold. It was part of the Kaparis. So they would not be facing each other. They would be Pneim Labayis. That's Rabbi Chaim Elojener writes about in Nefesh HaChaim. Why did it have to be Pneim Labayis? The Jewish people are not living up to their half of the deal. So the Kruv that represents Bnei Yisrael should turn its back to the other Kruv. But the Rabbanu Shlomo is still there. Why does he turn his back away from us? So he says, when we're closer to him, he's closer to us. When we run away, so he runs away. So they're not facing each other. The Gemara says in Yuma, that Bizman Shinichnasu Nochrim Lahecho, when it came to destroy the second base on Migdosh, so they. It says that Titus came in, and he took his sword, and he stabbed the Paroiches, and it started to bleed. Kisav Shaharagazatzma, he thought that he killed the Jewish God, because the Paroiches started to bleed. Strange. And then he went in further, and he sees the Kruvim. A boy and a girl, the face of a boy and a girl hugging each other, says, that's what this whole religion is all about. All the other religions revolved about sex, because reproduction, giving birth to babies, is such a pella. So they all thought that there's some divine power in giving birth to babies. But the Jewish religion also like that. The Jewish religion also has a man and a woman hugging each other in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So what is it supposed to represent? Taka, the man hugging the woman, the kruvim hugging each other. Kemar ish bilav yosai. Ruchi baskam lefnei amokim, that the Rabbanu Shalom loves us, that he's like a husband hugs his wife. So the Ritvo and the Marsho are bothered with the Kasha and that Gemara. But when the Rabbanu Shalom is destroying, he's having the goyim destroy the Beis HaMikdosh. So it means that we're not keeping up to the mitzvah. So they should have not been facing each other at all. They should have been back to back. They should have been Pneim Labayis. How come when Titus came in, he found that they were hugging each other? So some, I forgot already who, the Marshaw and the Ritva, one of them says that the Rabban Shalom didn't want Titus to see that he's angry at us. So he put out an act, the Rabban Shalom put out an act that he still loves us. And others say, maybe it's in Chassidish Svarim, I think others say that there's a din, Hayotzi Ladera Chayv Livka Desishtoi. If the husband is going to go on a long trip, so he has to hug his wife and kiss his wife. He has to show that he loves her because he's not going to be around for a long time. So the Rabban Shalom is going to be separated from the Jewish people for a long time. He was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So he was chayv livka desishtoi. So he was giving us a final kiss and a hug. So that's what Titus saw. When Titus came in, he saw that the Kruvim were hugging each other. That was the last hug until some later day. The whole purpose of the Mishkan is to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the Jewish people as the Aman Yivchar, and he's Mashri Shechinasa B'Sacheinu. Not just the Kruvim show that the Ruchi Baskam Lachnei Amokam. Everything, when the Oyle Rigolim used to come, we mentioned last week on Parshas Mishpatim, when the Oyle Rigolim came on Sholosh Rigolim, so Bizman Bais Rishon used to roll up the curtains and show the Kruvim hugging each other, and then Bizman Bais Sheni, they couldn't show the Kruvim, so they used to lift up the Shulchan and show that the Lechem Aponim was fresh. Ruchi Baskam Lachnei Amokam, the Gemara said, that's what the Loshim would be. They would always show that everything, the whole function of the Beis HaMikdash is to show that the Jewish people are the Yaman Nivchot, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashu Shechinasa Beineinu. The Shulchan was in order to have the Lechem Aponim on. The Lechem Aponim was baked every week on Friday. Afia is not Deicha Shabbos. The Gemara quotes, one time it was of the Ablezer. Ablezer holds Machshire Mila Deicha Shabbos. He holds that he can bake the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos also. But he didn't live Bizman Abayis, and the historical tradition was not like Rav Lezer, that Afiyas Lechem Aponim is not Deicha Shabbos. He used to bake it on Friday, he used to put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and he used to sit there for a whole week, and then they would switch to Lechem Aponim next week. There were 12 Lechem Aponim, Sheish HaMareches, they were piled up, six over here and six over here, two piles of six each, and then they took it off next Shabbos, they put on new Lechem Aponim, and the Kohanim had to eat it Yom B'Laila Ad Chatzos. It's like a kachi kachi. So the Zohar makes a comment that on Shabbos, the Lechem Mishnah that we eat is Zecher L'Lechem Aponim. I thought that's the reason why on Shabbos, as opposed to Yontif, the minig is that they make the chalas with a special shape. On Yontif, often the minig is they make round chalas. And on Shabbos, the minig is either you have a sectional chalas that are like a rectangular shape, or you have chalas that are the shape of a canoe, that have two points in each end, and then it gets fat in the middle. So the Gemara has a machlokes in Menachos, in the end of Menachos, Perek Shtei Alechem, you have all the dinim of Lechem Aponim also. So the Mishnah says there that the Lechem Aponim has to be Lechem Sheyesh Laponim, has to have a certain special shape. What is the shape? So the two opinions in the Gemara. The one opinion is that it was Kiteva Prutza, it was like a rectangular shape. The other opinion is it was like a canoe, Kisvino Rakedis. So I thought that's the reason why they return. And the Chazon Ish writes on that Gemara, he thinks that if you make it either way, it'll be kosher. They're just discussing which do they think is the preferred way. So I think maybe that's the reason why there was always a special shape for the Shabbos Dika Chalas. On Yontif, they used to have a round Chalas. But the Chalas that you eat on Shabbos are supposed to be Zecher L'Lechem Aponim. That's how the Zohar says. Like the Kohanim make the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos afternoon and Matzoi Shabbos at Chatzoi, so we eat Chalas on Shabbos. The Zohar says that just like in the Beis HaMikdash there were 12 Lechem Aponim, so too when we have the Lechem Mishnah, we should have 12. How do you have 12? Two is not 12. So the Hasidim like to follow things from the Zohar, so many Hasidim have a practice, they have Lechem Mishnah, two Chalas over here, they have another 10 Chalas on the table, adds up together to 12. So when the Vilna Goyen heard that the Hasidim have that practice, so he said, that's wrong. By definition, that's wrong. Whatever the Hasidim do is wrong. So he said, no, it's a different thing. The Vilna Goyen followed the opinion of the Rashba. There's a Gemara, we just had the Gemara, in Brochus on Daf Mem. So the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim, Batza Akula Sheirusa. So the Vilna Gaon follows the Rashba there that when you cut the Lechem Aponim, when you cut the Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos, you should cut the both Lechem Mishnah. He holds that the one that you don't cut is if it's still in the bakery. It's not mitzdarif to Lechem Mishnah. So up on Friday night, you have two chalas and you cut them both. Shabbos morning, you have two chalas and you cut them both. Shalashudas, you have two chalas and you cut them both. So you have six chalas and they're all cut in half. So you have 12 chatzoin. So he says, that's what it said in the Zohar. You should have 12 chatzoin, not 12 chalas. You should have yud beis chatzoin by cutting both of the lechem mishnah and each one of the three meals. You're going to have yud beis chatzoin, mechuvin keneged the yud beis lechem upon it. The Paroiche says in the Chumash had to be made from Shatnas. On the side of the Eridea, in Hilchas Shatnas, they record a minig that for many years they used to make a Paroiches in Shul, from Shatnas also, to make a Zecha to the Paroiches and the Beis Hamikdash that was made from Shatnas. The Gemara says in the end of the first Perek in Beitzah, that even though shatnas is only forbidden to wear clothing, a silver shatnas begad tzemra pishtim yachtel, or begad klaim shatnas lo yalo alecha, levisha is osur, and halah is osur. That's a person has a garbage bag that's made from cloth, made from shatnas. He's going to hold it over his shoulder when he takes out the garbage. That's called halah, that's not called levisha. But let's say a person goes to sleep at night and the blanket that he uses is shatnas. That's not levisha, but that's halah. It's also forbidden. The Gemara in Yivam is Dafei. As there are two psukim, there's a din of Levisha Shatnas and a din of Halor by Shatnas. So the Gemara says, Mikra din, it's mutter to make curtains out of Shatnas. There's neither Levisha nor Halor. But the Gemara says, Mipneima Omru Viloin Osir, the end of the first Perek in Beitza. Why do they prohibit making curtains from Shatnas? Mipneisha Shamish Mischamim Kinegna. Sometimes if someone is chilly, so he'll lean on the curtains that are hanging on the wall in order to warm himself up. So if the curtain is going to be shatnas, it'll be an Isser of Ha'aloh. It won't be Levisha, but it'll be an Isser of Ha'aloh. So how do they have, the Ramo and Yeridea writes, how come for many generations they made a Pareches and Shul that was made from shatnas? So the Ramo says, because you're not allowed to be Mischamim Kenegda. Because the Gemara says in Megillah that the Pareches has its status of Tashmishi Kedusha. So you're not allowed to use it for your own personal purposes. So the chashash of hashamish mischamim kenegda didn't apply. So that's why the Ramo writes that there's no prohibition. So inside of the Yeridea they write, but in the later generations the practice became, it was very common practice in Europe that they used to use the paroches for a chuppah when a chas and kala would get married. So they write, how was that permissible? In fact, they used to have a museum that used to be housed over here. It moved somewhere near Stern College. No, I'm not sure where it is now. But the museum used to be over here. So I remember they once had a display of different paroches from all over the world. So they showed a paroches, a rectangular shaped paroches that had four slits in the four corners. And the tour guide was asking us, can anybody guess why it has four slits in all the four corners? No one was able to figure out why. No one even had a half a minute to figure out why. So he explained, because they used to use it as a chuppah to get married. And there were poskim who held that the chuppah has to be in the shape of a tzuras ha-pesach. And the tzuras ha-pesach has to be kona mikam, kona mikam, kona al gabeyim. If the kona on top is min atzad, it's no good. So years ago, a lot of the people used to make, this I remember, when I was a little child, used to have a curtain, chuppah curtain, cloth that was rectangular shape, and it had four rings in the four corners, a metal ring. And they used to have a pole that became narrow on top, so the ring would go into the top of the pole. So many poskim held that that's not acceptable. That was a common practice. Many held that that's not good. That's not a valid tzuras ha-pesach. That's b'kona mikam, b'kona mikam, b'kona al gabeyim. You have to have, you can't tie the string around the top of this pole and then tie it around here. It has to go from the top of this pole to the top of that pole. So to satisfy that opinion, the Ezer Mikodesh has like this on the side of the Ebenezer. And Ebenezer, they printed in the standard edition of the Shulchan Aruch. They printed it from the Pechotcher of the Ezer Mikodesh. So he thinks that it has to be in the shape of a Tzuras HaPesach, has to be Kon HaGaimemi. So that's why they made a slit in the four corners so that the cloth would go over. So they raised the question, how do you have the right to use the paroiches for a chuppah if it's a Tashmishi Kedusha? The Gemara says in Megillah that it has the status of Tashmishi Kedusha. So the poskim say, no, the Gemara asks the question, why is it Tashmishi Kedusha? Shouldn't it be Tashmish to Tashmish? Isn't it twice removed? let's say by us, tefillin is gufi kedusha, the tefillin zekel is tashmishi kedusha, and then let's say a person puts his tefillin zekel inside his talis zekel. So the talis zekel that covers the tefillin zekel, that's called tashmish to tashmish. Talis is tashmishi mitzvah, it's not tashmishi kedusha. So the talis does not have kedusha, and the talis zekel does not have kedusha either. Let the talis zekel have the status of kedusha because it's mishamish to tefillin. So the Gemara says, no, that's tashmish to tashmish, that's twice removed. So the Gemara asks, nu. So the paroiches in front of the Aron Kodesh also twice removed. The Sefer Torah is the gufi kedusha. Sefer Torah sits in the Aron Kodesh, which is made from wood. The wooden Aron Kodesh is tashmishi kedusha, and the paroiches protects the wooden Aron Kodesh. So that's twice removed from the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Mitzad that, if you would consider the paroiches as having kedusha because of the fact that it's on the Aron Kodesh, it would be a tashmish to tashmish. Wouldn't qualify as a tashmishi kedusha. But the Gemara says the common practice used to be that when they would take out the Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah purposes, they would remove the paroiches from the Aron Kodesh and spread it out on the Shulchan and put the Sefer Torah directly on top of the paroiches. So that's why it had the status of tashmishi kedusha, because they would lay Kriyas HaTorah bekviyas like that. So in the days of the Shulchan Aruch already, this practice changed. We have a map on top of the Shulchan. No one, even if you don't have a map, you put a talis. Nobody takes down the paroiches from the Aron Kodesh. So that's what they write. In the later generations, the paroiches on the Aron Kodesh lost its status of tashmishi kedusha. Now it's only tashmish to tashmish. So taka doesn't have the status of tashmishi kedusha. So that's why you're permitted to make it, to use it for a chuppah. So once you're allowed to use it for a chuppah, then there's a concern of mishamish mischamim kenegda. Then you're allowed to warm yourself up. So that's what the later poskim say. It's not right to make the paroiches from shatnas anymore. When they gave us this display in the museum of the paroiches, and said they were telling us that unless you'll order specifically, when a shul orders a paroiches, unless you give them instructions, the manufacturers, that you don't want shatnas, 98% of the time they will be selling you a paroiches that does have shatnas. That's the mini kavur. Maybe they changed it since then. This is around 10, 15 years ago when they gave us that display. But at that time they told us, 98% of the time, if you don't give instructions, they will send you a parechas that does have shatnas. So it says in the later poskim that it's not really right to make it with shatnas. The Chumash has that the parechas serve two roles. One pasuk in today's seder says, v'hivdila parechas lachem bein ha-kodesh v'ein kodesh ha-kadoshim. It served as the mechitza to separate between the Heichal and the Azara. In fact, the Abu Dram was working with the theme. We discussed it when we started the Perek, Ketzim Avorch. Abu Dram works on the assumption that the Nusach HaTfilon, Nusach of all brachas, is supposed to be in Biblical Hebrew. So he says, when you have Yontav Shecholiyos B'Matzoi Shabbos, and we say Havdolah, so we say Baruch HaMavda Mikodesh L'Kodesh. So he raises the question, where does this phrase come from? So he says, it's based on this pasuk, and today said, "V'hivdila paroches lachem bein hakodesh uvein kodesh hakodoshim." Not only is it important to distinguish between kodesh and chol, it's important to distinguish between kodesh chomer and kodesh kal. Sometimes people are running to do mitzvahs and they don't realize they're running to live in Eretz Yisrael. And what's going to be with the rest of the 612 mitzvahs? They're going to run to a secular moshav, and Eretz Yisrael is above all. Not exactly. Kol ador b'chutz la'az kilu eved avod izor. Some people live in Eretz Yisrael, mamish eved avod izor. So you have to pick a good place in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is an important mitzvah, but Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, Hamshpah are more important. So you have to be mavdol bein ha-kodesh and bein kodesh ha-kodoshim. So anyway, so the pasuk in today's sedri gives you that's one role of the parechas. V'evdila parechas lachem bein ha-kodesh or bein kodesh ha-kodoshim. And later, in Pikudei, either Avayakal or Pikudei, it says you should put the luchos into the oroin, and you should put the kapores on top of the oroin, and then it says you should put the paroiches on top of the oroin. V'sakoso al ha'oroin. I forgot the lashon. So the pasuk seems to imply that the paroiches serves two functions, as a mechitza to be mavdal bein hakodesh avein between the azara and heichal. V'di hakodesh aparech is lahem bein hakodesh avein kodesh hakodoshim. And number two, v'sakos al ha'oren es aparechas. to cover the Aron. So there is an interesting Mishnah Lamelech, he points out, based on a Torah's Kohanim, Asifro, in Ezel Mekoimon, the first two Mishnahs in Ezel Mekoimon. So, Parvistar Shal Yom HaKippurim have a Zrikas Adam Bein Abadim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ve'al HaParoiches, Ve'al Mizbach Hazor, and the Shiori Adam is Nishbach, Al Yisayt Marovish on the Mizbeach Achitz. Mishnah Bey says, there are other Parim Manasraf, Mishnah Manasraf, not the Parvistar Shal Yom HaKippurim. They don't have a Zrikas Adam Bein Abadim. They just have Daman Ton Hazor Al HaParoiches, and the Shiori Adam Hayoshef Echayisayim Marav Shalom Zbeach Achitz. So the Mishnah Lamelech points out, based on the Sifro, that the Parvistar Shal Yom HaKippurim, when you do this Zrikas Adam in front of the Paroiches, it should be in front of the Paroiches Bein Abadim, as opposed to Parim Manasraf Nisirim Manasrafim Parhalam Dabu Shal Tzibu and the others, that has to be anywhere in front of the Paroiches. It doesn't have to be Bein Abadim. He doesn't explain it. So in the yeshivas, they say that that's the biur, that the paroiches serves two functions. So by the parvisor shal Yom HaKippurim, the zrikas hadam in front of the paroiches is supposed to be bein abadim, is supposed to be just like there was a zrikat bein abadim, lifnai v'lifnim. So the zrika in front of the paroiches is in front of that part of the paroiches that's v'sakos al ha'oran es ha'paroiches. That part of the paroiches that's covering over the oran. So that's only the bein abadim. But the Parim Manasrafim and Sirim Manasrafim, which don't have any Zrikas, Lifnai B'Lifnim, they only have a Zrik in front of the Parochas, so that has no Shaykhas with the Bein Abadim. So you can be Zorik, you can be Mazed Adam in front of the Parochas, any part of the Parochas. Rav Chaim has in a Sefer, there's a Peladika Rambam, so he farefers the Rambam also along these lines. The Rambam quotes from the Gemara in Yuma that there's a Machlekes HaTanaim. Maisa Yom HaKippurim, the Seder is Leikuva. You have to do all the Avodas ala Seder. The Gemara says only the different opinions in Tanoim, whether everything, the Seder is Makam on everything, or only the Seder is only Miakam on the things that are done Lifnai V'Lifnim. Whatever is done, Bachutz, the Seder is not Miakam. So the Rav Chaim points out, the Rambam seems to hold that the Zrikas Adam in front of the Paroiches relates to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zrikas Adam on the Mizbech HaPnimi, that's called chutz, and the zvikas adam in front of the pareches, that's called lifnim. It's a different, like this Mishnah Melech, it's a different din, because the zvikas adam, a parvisor shal Yom Kippurim, has to be in front of the pareches bein abadim. It relates all the way to the lifnai v'lifnim. Okay. Shver parsha. We got to learn it a little bit, kilu baninu beis hamikdash. Under the circumstance, we don't have the opportunity to actually build the Beis HaMikdash. We've got to learn the Baruch.